What is up, and welcome back to 24 Minutes of the Oscars, the podcast that takes a look at the 2024 Oscars 24 minutes at a time. I am Ethan Simme.
And I'm Ben Lawhorn. Today on the pod, we are giving our reaction to the 2024 Academy Award nominations.
Ben, it's really fucking early, and we're podding, bro. To pod is to live, right?
Yeah, look at these bags under my eyes, man. I'm up. I'm dedicated to the pod. For anybody who's ever questioned us, here we are.
This is where it shines through. This is where we put in the work for the Oscars. We're gonna go through each category. Not doing best shorts. We're not doing best docs. I've got a hard out because it is a weekday and I have children I have to take to school and a job that I have to get to. You have a job you have to get to. Yeah. So we're trying to squeeze this pod in early in the morning. We're going to go through the major categories. We're going to tell you what we locked in as our nominations. True, honest. We didn't no funny business post Oscar noms to pump the numbers or anything like that. We filled out the doc last night. I realized yesterday that we didn't make an episode of this show where we were like, these are our final nominations.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do it now. And then we're going to go through the Academy nominations and we'll give our thoughts by category. See who the biggest winners, biggest losers, biggest snubs, biggest surprises. I want to ask you first off, did you watch the broadcast this morning?
No, I was sound asleep. I set my alarm for like half an hour after it started.
Just
to make coffee so I could be awake for this. So no, but I saw you were up early.
I was up, brother. I was fucking up. And honestly, I thought it went quite well. I think that Zazie Beetz and Jack Quaid were pretty good. I like the energy that Jack Quaid brings at 5:30 in the morning. It's pretty unique.
Nice.
I thought it was good. They put in like a little commercial break after like the first four or five nominations. And that was a nice touch to like kind of catch our breath and be like, oh, wow, we've got a couple surprises already. Let's get ready for, you know, the rest of the nominations.
Do they start with the shorts or do they start with Best Picture? Like, are they building up to Best Picture?
They build up to Best Picture. They started with Best Supporting Actor this year. And so the very first nominee, which we, of course, will talk about, was a bit of a surprise. And so I think right out of the gate, it was interesting to see what was happening. I still don't understand, like, the 5:30 a.m. Pacific thing. They host it on the West Coast, so I don't get it. I don't
Doesn't
know. The show is starting an hour earlier this year, so why are we not doing the nominations like at 7 p.m.? You know, like make it an event, not 5:30 in the morning.
I get the feeling Jack Quaid gives me the vibes of someone who stayed up all night. Like he did not wake up to get ready for this. He's just like, no, I'm staying up all night. And
definitely
I'm rolling into this. Yeah.
All night playing the bongos. That would be no surprise. I'm a little disappointed he didn't bring out the bongos. Okay, let's talk about our Oscar nominees. We've been waiting quite a while for this. We know our Best Picture 10 now, so no more guessing here on this show of what we're going to cover for the rest of the Academy Awards season. We're going to actually start with Best Picture. We're not going to go the way that the Academy announced it this morning. I wrote it in the notes how I had it in my app that I was using, how we had it in Gold Derby, which is what we were using to predict. So we're just going to go through. We're going to start with Best Picture. I quickly want to say Oppenheimer, nominated for 13 Academy Awards. Poor Things gets 11. Killers of the Flower Moon gets 10. Those are three double-digit nominations. I give a shout-out to Maestro, who pulled in 7. How are you feeling about that, Ben?
You're going to make me watch it. You won. That's how I feel about
this.
I fucking
did it. We won.
That's when I woke up and I first looked at that. That was my first thought of the day was, oh, my God, he won. Like, I have to watch this movie now.
I feel so happy and I'm so excited to watch it again. I can't wait for that episode. Scorsese becomes the most nominated living director of all time, surpassing Spielberg. I believe John Williams becomes the oldest nominated composer in Academy Awards history, which is something that we'll talk about that happened. And then the last general stat, PGA Producers Guild Awards goes 10 for 10. First time ever on Best Picture nominations. That's kind of crazy to me. There was like 10 best pictures that everybody was just like, this is it. This is the 10. And it stuck, which is wild.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think the reverse psychology of it influenced my decision for my best picture noms. Cause like, well, if that's the first time they would ever do it, there's probably no way it's going to happen. So something's got to be different. So yeah, but we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it. Okay, here's what I nominated. I nominated Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, Barbie, The Holdovers, Maestro, Anatomy of a Fall, The Zone of Interest, Past Lives, and American Fiction as my nominees. Ben, what did you nominate?
I did the same, other than instead of Anatomy of a Fall, I thought for sure they were going to want an animated picture in there, so I threw in Spider-Verse. So that's what I went with.
Unfortunately, it didn't pan out for you.
It did not pan out.
Did not pan out. No animated feature in the Best Picture race. The nominees are exactly as my list, exactly as the PGA nominated. 10 for 10. I feel pretty good that I went 10 for 10 in the solid biggest category for the Academy Awards.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's a great way to start out.
It's a good way to start out. So no animated, like you mentioned. Of course, we get two international feature films in Anatomy of a Fall and The Zone of Interest, kind of a big deal as well. But like I said, this was kind of our 10. Like, nothing really strayed from this, which I thought was equally surprising and not surprising, because this has been the 10 we've been talking about for like a month now, where people have just agreed. And it always feels every year, the closer you get to the nominations, the more likely it is that people are just like too aligned and like something crazy is going to happen. That kind of happened in some other categories. It didn't happen in this category. Anything, would you have swapped one of these movies for Spider-Verse personally?
No, I mean, there's a few that I haven't seen, so I can't speak to them, but I know the reaction that, you know, Anatomy of Fall is getting. I think that was just, it was just a matter of me playing with my own head, where it's like, well, two international features out of 10, that seems like a lot. They lack an animated. I just had talked myself out of it for some reason with some logic, but I understand all these movies being nominated for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's talk about Best Director. I think this is a big category to talk about, because a couple snubs, a couple losers, a winner potentially. I nominated Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Greta Gerwig for Barbie, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, and Alexander Payne for The Holdovers. And I actually lied, because I wrote that in the notes and then I immediately changed it, because people got in my mind about not getting a woman director nominated, because the Directors Guild of America is quite male heavy voting body and they like their guys. And so I actually put in Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. So I had a slate of five guys. No Greta Gerwig for Barbie. I did have Jonathan Glazer as my last nomination there. What did you have?
Gotcha. I had Nolan, Scorsese, Gerwig, Cooper for Maestro, and then I did Jonathan Glazer as well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Greta would be our lone female director.
I think a lot of people thought that. That is kind of like what we all thought would happen, and that didn't happen. We got no Greta Gerwig for Barbie, Ben.
I mean, it kind of blows my mind. I know box office isn't necessarily an indicator of success, but for like our first billion-dollar movie of the year, to not get that kind of recognition of like, hey, Greta, good job. You made a movie that made $1 billion. Like, that kind of seems crazy. But again, I know box office doesn't necessarily mean like respect or success or whatever. So, but that's just kind of nuts to me.
So I lied again. I have to reset here, because what I'm going to be using is my Gold Derby nominations for the rest of the season. So I don't want to be lying for the rest of the Academy Awards season. So I nominated Christopher Nolan, Martin Scorsese, Jonathan Glazer, Alexander Payne, and I actually nominated Yorgos Lanthimos for.
Oh, okay. Things.
I swerved on my fucking guy, Bradley Cooper, because that was a Spider-Verse situation for you. I was like, that'd be cool. Like, let's try to speak it into existence a little bit. And I knew it wasn't going to happen last night at like 11 o'clock. So
yeah.
I did still go with the five guys. Here's who the Academy nominated. Martin Scorsese, Killers of Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest, and Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. I think that might be the biggest shock of the morning. For nominations, that's a big deal, getting no Greta for Barbie, like you said.
Yeah.
No Alexander Payne for The Holdovers. The Academy loves Alexander Payne. And Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, which is a big deal, because ever since Golden Globes. We've been seeing Anatomy of a Fall really start to pick up some speed in other categories that is not Best Picture. And I wouldn't have pegged that to be the woman nominee for this slate. I just it wasn't on my radar. I didn't think that was ever going to happen.
And this is an instance where I wonder if some of those acceptance speeches, you know, for screenplay and things like that, people are like, oh, maybe I'll check this out. And that's how she got her way in here. Like, deserving for sure. But I think maybe some of those other things caught people's attention. I'm curious if it did.
I think that's interesting because Greta was so good about being on the circuit for Barbie when she could. Obviously, she made videos with Letterboxd. She was out and about. She's been the face of this movie for many, many months now, and someone that has grown steadily, like within Hollywood as a director. And the Directors Guild was just like, nah, not it. Barbie's not good enough.
Like, nah, we're good.
I'm a little I'm a little shocked. I think I think that's a big snub. Of course, I think there are some other snubs too. I think we'll talk about it at the very end, but Barbie might be the biggest loser of this nomination slate.
Yeah, which is kind of nuts considering it still got, what, 8 noms or whatever, but it, like, did. There is definitely plenty of things it could have gotten nominated for. Gerwig kind of gives me, it almost felt like the Bradley Cooper thing where it's like, we'll nominate you every time you show up here.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're ever going to give it to you, but like, we like you, you know? So I think a lot of people thought she would be there. So that's a big surprise for sure.
I wonder if the DGA thought, you know what? We got to nominate a woman, and you know what's better than a woman? An international woman. And we got to nominate and let's go that route. Let's do the twofer. And I'm obviously not trying to be reductive or offensive, but like, you have to think about how the awards body might think. They have a history of all male nominees. They have a great connection with dudes making movies. And I think this is proof. And I think that kind of proactive decision to nominate an international female filmmaker backfired a little bit on them. I don't feel good about it. I don't think a lot of people are going to feel good about that.
No, I'm with you for sure.
So Greta doesn't make it in for Barbie. One of the first big losses, big snubs for Barbie. Let's talk about Best Actress, a category that I'm just a little fucking weirded out by, honestly. Yeah. I don't get it. Here's what I nominated. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Emma Stone, Poor Things, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan, Maestro, and Margot Robbie for Barbie. Who did you nominate?
Same list. I swapped out Margot, though, for Greta Lee for Past Lives. I think that was another, you know, we talked a little bit before we were recording. I think some of my picks on here were like, you know what? I hope this happens. Like, I don't think if I had been thinking critically, I mean, not that Greta Lee was this, but I had a few where it's just like, I would like to see this if possible, but maybe not realistic. But I think Greta Lee, I don't know. I thought she had a chance at least to get nominated, but obviously she didn't make it.
I think both of us were right. Both of us were right in the 5 spot with either Margot or Greta Lee. I think that was like the general consensus of these two women fighting for the 5th spot. The Academy said, no thanks. We're just going to stick to what we know, and we're just going to toss Annette Bening in the mix. Yeah. For a movie that nobody has fucking seen. Nobody is talking about Nyad. Why are we nominating this movie?
I don't know. Maybe Annette Bening has some blackmail on people, but no, I'm sure she's like perfect in this movie. But yeah, it is kind of surprising for something that doesn't seem to be getting a lot of traction or a lot of notice to get, you know, a couple noms here.
It's so frustrating. It's very frustrating from a voter perspective or from like a watcher's perspective to be like, oh, wow, like you have Margot right there. Like, that's Barbie. She did it. Like, I mean, I don't know what else to say about Barbie that we haven't already said. I do think that there has to be some precedent for the cultural footprint that it created over the summer and over the last 12 months and what it did for the box office and movies and women in film. And they were like, you know what? We're just going to go with Annette Bening, who we've nominated before. We like having her around. Nyad, sports biopic, pretty good. Like, people like those. And let's give Netflix a bone and talk about a streaming film.
Yeah.
I think we did everything wrong with that pick. We went 3 strikes.
Yeah, I mean, it's notable that Nyad isn't up there for Best Picture. You know, it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's interesting where they chose to nominate this movie, but I don't know. It's hard to argue with Annette Bening in general, but with the rest of the slate here that could have been there, it's an interesting selection.
Do you want to talk about Best Supporting Actress now? Because I feel like Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress are a little intermingled with the Barbie conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it.
Okay, so Best Supporting Actress, I had Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple, Penelope Cruz for Ferrari, and Julianne Moore for May, December. That was my slate of five that I predicted. Who did you predict?
Divine Joy Randolph, Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks. We had the same there, and Julianne Moore for May, December. Okay. And then, you know what? I thought maybe they'll do Jodie Foster for Naiad.
You're a Naiad head, secretly. You're a closeted Naiad head.
I win it. Yeah, as someone who started True Detective last night, I feel really good about my Jodie Foster pick.
Nice, good pick, yeah.
She's kicking ass. So, yeah, I don't know. That was one where it's just like, I haven't seen it. I have no idea, but I feel like the Academy loves her. So, and it, I guess it proved to be true.
It did. It paid off. So here's who the Academy nominated. Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer. Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple. America Ferrera for Barbie,
yeah.
Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Of course, Jodie Foster, we kind of had an idea that that could be happening, and it did in fact happen. I thought Julianne Moore had the best shot out of anybody to get nominated for an acting award for May, December. Mm-hmm. I know there was a lot of steam with Charles Melton. I didn't see that just like kind of materializing. So I thought this would have been the case because the Academy does like Julianne Moore. She's been around. She is not a stranger to being nominated for these things. And then they nominated America Ferrera for Barbie. So Margot is out. America Ferrera is in. That might be the most perplexing, like, Barbie nomination thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or movie nomination thing, acting nomination, maybe ever.
I mean, I think I joked about it on our Barbie episode, but I even said, like, they could give her the Ruffalo and Spotlight treatment, where she's got one super strong scene that is the crux of the movie, you know.
Yeah,
and they recognize that and be like, yeah, she killed it on that scene, so let's give it to her. Not that she wasn't great in the rest of the movie, just like Ruffalo wasn't great in the rest of Spotlight, but you know what I'm talking about. It's just like there's a scene that you associate with them in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that scene got her this nomination, and that's kind of cool, I guess, that she's nominated. I just am surprised.
Here's the thing with the Academy, especially when it comes to this category. They knew, Ben. They knew the whole time, and they let it happen.
God damn it.
They let it happen.
Walked right into that.
No Penelope Cruz, I think, is worth noting here as well. I feel like that was a strong supporting actress case. I feel like that was good. And it just disappeared, disintegrated before our eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised, but at the same time, like I think some of these noms that they have here are pretty legit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Davine seems to have it wrapped up. It seems like it's her and then what other four people they were going to nominate. So I don't know how much the rest of them matter, because this feels like the lock of locks for the Oscars, right? Because she's just winning everywhere.
Everywhere.
So yeah, it feels kind of, yeah.
I'm with you. I'm just interested in what goes on behind the scenes at the Academy and the voting bodies to be like, let's put America in, and because we put her in supporting actress, I think we cannot put Margot in for best lead. That's weird to me that like we're just doing trade-offs and we're just like, well, one or the other. I don't feel like, especially Barbie, a movie about all the Barbies, should not be a trade-off situation.
If you had lined up Greta, Margot, and America and said one of these three women will get a nomination for Barbie, who will it be?
It's not America. That's the thing.
That's not who I would have picked, for sure. I would have been shocked.
Very, very interesting. So Best Supporting Actress, I think the nominations are shocking and they're a little wild, but I don't think it's a contest. I don't really think this is something that will be changing the Best Supporting Actress at all. Okay, Best Actor. I nominated Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, but Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction, and Colman Domingo for Rustin. Who did you predict?
Nice. Same. Cillian, Paul Giamatti, Bradley Cooper, Jeffrey Wright, and then I went with Leo for Killers because I just... they like Leo. Who doesn't like Leo at the awards? You know, I just kind of figured whether or not I thought he deserved to be there, I assumed they were going to nominate him. This is one of those picks where it's just like, they're going to want him there for sure. So they're going to nominate him. I don't know that he deserves to be there, but you know, whatever. So this was me talking myself out of common sense, I guess.
I wanted Leo. I have not seen Rustin. I heard the movie is exceptionally average, but Colman Domingo is quite great in it, which is, we love Colman Domingo here on this podcast. Oh, yeah. We're big fans. I think that's wonderful that he gets a nom here. So the official nominees from the Academy is Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction. So I actually went for 5 for 5 in this category, which I'm pretty stoked about. But the big talk is no Leo, which is kind of wild to me. The Academy does like Leo. He's been acting forever. I think he's quite exceptional in Killers of the Flower Moon. Even though Killers of the Flower Moon walks away with 10 total nominations, I think the takeaway of the list this morning is the Academy did not like Killers of the Flower Moon as much as we thought it would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't get Leo here, and we didn't get Killers in adapted screenplay. A nomination that was pretty fucking locked.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny how much that plays into my personal taste because I didn't love how they adapted it. But I thought it was really locked anyway.
You really think the Academy voters are like, let's read the book and then watch the movie and that's how we'll decide the nominations? I don't think
we
have a lot of voting people doing that.
Yeah, I'm shocked that it didn't get nominated for sure. Like, that seems nuts. Here's my question. Is Leo still going to the Oscars?
Oh, man. Well, that's the thing. Do you risk Leo not being there?
Yeah.
Because why would he be? What's he going to do? He's just going to sit at the Scorsese table and just be like, my guy Marty got nominated for Best Director. How cool. Like,
a producer for the film, which I don't know if he is or if he isn't, but like, I don't know, if I'm Leo, I'm like, all right, have fun. Like, you saved me a night of having to wear a tux, I guess.
Right. Have a good time without me.
Room. So I don't know. Yeah, obviously I haven't seen Rustin or American Fiction, but and eventually at some point in my life I'll have to get to Maestro. But I still think it's a Giamatti Killian race for sure.
What does Leo do if he doesn't go to the Oscars? How does he spend that evening?
Oh, man, with some 25-year-old, I don't know, but having a good time, I'm sure.
Not watching the Oscars, 100%. You don't think this is like an American Psycho situation where he like brings a woman to his home but then has the Oscars playing in the background and like can't escape the poll of the Academy Awards?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe he still attends in spirit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, Leo's a big deal here. I think that's crazy. And I do think the Academy did not attach to Killers of the Flower Moon quite where we thought they would.
For sure.
Which is interesting. But I, you know, like you said, I think it's a Paul Giamatti, Cillian Murphy race here. I don't really think there's much else. I think if Leo gets nominated, it doesn't really change this race, honestly. So, okay, best supporting actor. Here's who I nominated. Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, and Dominic Sessa for The Holdovers. Who did you predict?
Ditto. We did the same.
Wow, this we did the same. No way.
Where we had the same exact nominations.
That's
I was surprised
incredible.
To see Sessa on yours.
Well, I rewatched The Holdovers and prep for our episode next week, and it just felt good, and I was just like, this would be nice. And so I wanted it to happen. Here's who the Academy nominated. Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling, Barbie. Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things. So Sterling K. Brown was our first nominee announcement this morning. Mm-hmm. We led off with Best Supporting Actor, and they started with Sterling K. Brown, which meant that it was not going to be Dominic Sessa, and it was not going to be Charles Melton, because the other four were tied up. That it had to be what it was going to be. The Mark Ruffalo could have been Willem Dafoe. Either way, it was going to a Poor Things boy.
Yeah.
But the Sterling K. Brown was a very shocking way to kind of kick this off at 5:31 a.m. In the morning. No Dominic Sessa makes me sad. I haven't seen American Fiction yet. That's the only Best Picture nominee that I haven't got around to. So I can't even speak on Sterling K. Brown. I know that there were rumblings of like, he could get in. This would be a big deal. It's got the juice. So I'm not super surprised. I'm a little bummed out that it's not Dominic Sessa. And I wonder how they chose between Ruffalo and Defoe.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I mean, they both have, I guess Ruffalo has a little more screen time probably, but it's pretty similar in that movie and they both give great performances. So I am kind of curious how they chose to do that. But yeah, Sessa is a bummer. I thought it might have been Melton on, you know, a whim, like maybe they'll give it to him. But yeah, I don't know. It makes me more excited to see American Fiction, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely agree. I'm excited to cover that movie. I think the big takeaway here is that the Academy is still pretty sheepish about nominating young actors.
Yeah.
Because they did go with the Sterling K. Brown, someone who is, you know, a true like 40s or 50 something actor. He's not a Dominic Sessa guy who was just found at a college and ended up starring in a movie.
Exactly. Right?
So I think there's a little bit to that. Mark Ruffalo gets nominated again, which I think is exciting. Robert Downey Jr. is going to win, right?
I mean, it seems like it. I think early on, there was a question of Gosling, you know, because he does give a good performance in Barbie. But the way all the other awards have gone, it seems like it's Robert Downey Jr.'s to take.
My other interesting takeaway from the Killers of the Flower Moon conversation is, of course, that De Niro gets nominated here. Leo does not get nominated for actor. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, because there has been this kind of narrative going around of like, the Academy is not going to nominate the evil white people of this movie, which, you know, on a very reductive basis is it's kind of true because we saw this happen. De Niro, of course, gets nominated. De Niro's character is more likable than Leo's character in Flower Moon. And I think Leo's character in Flower Moon is so deeply acidic and unlikable that I don't know if the Academy could have pulled themselves to be like, this is what we want to represent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, which is interesting because I think De Niro is easily the more evil of characters, but
Leo's got some semblance of a hopeful soul for Molly. And De Niro as King is just like pure evil. Which I think is interesting. So anyway, okay, best adapted screenplay. We're going to continue. I think this might be our last Killers of the Flower Moon conversation here. I nominated Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, Barbie, and American Fiction. What did you predict?
Back to back with us going some nominations.
Back
here.
To back. Nice. Okay. Well, we both missed because the Academy nominated American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest, which I just want to put out there, if you follow me on Twitter, at Ethan Simi, which I recommend you do, I tweeted last night at like 11 o'clock, and I was like, I'm having a panic attack. I don't think adapted screenplay is locked, and I think Zone of Interest might get in. And wonderful, wonderful guy, Daniel Joya, writes for The Ringer, writes for RobertEbert.com, and he replied to me, and he was like, listen, Ethan, this category is locked up. Go to bed. Don't worry about it. And it wasn't fucking locked up. Killers of the Flower Moon missed. The Zone of Interest got in instead.
Well, yeah. What would you have swapped out, you think, if you had gone back? Would you have changed American Fiction for Zone? Like, you wouldn't have taken out Killers,
no.
Right? Yeah.
No. Well, here's the thing. I wouldn't have taken out American Fiction either because it's a movie about a guy who's writing a book.
Okay.
And the Academy loves movies about people doing their jobs. So I wouldn't have taken out American Fiction. If anything, I think Barbie would have been on the bubble because of the narrative of the controversy of original versus adapted for this movie. So if I was going to take something out, it would have been Barbie put in The Zone. And I think Zone was firmly in that sixth bubble.
Yeah.
But there's no fucking way anybody thought Killers of the Flower Moon would miss adapted. I don't think that was a conversation anybody was having.
No, it doesn't seem like it at all. I mean, given the reception of the movie in general, this did feel like a lock. Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Killers felt, for me anyway, like the biggest three locks. Barbie mainly because they like Greta, you know,
sure.
And Noah. Yeah. So that's why I felt that way. And Poor Things, I know that they've nominated Yorgos in the past for this. So yeah, I don't know. I felt really solid about this group. So Zone of Interest is an interesting choice over Killers.
Zone of Interest walks away with 5 nominations. Probably more than I thought it would get by one or two. Good for A24. Of course, we are an A24 pod. We're going to be talking about the Zone of Interest. I'm very excited to revisit it. It's been a while. It's been a few months since I've seen it. So I'm excited for that. Let's talk about Best Original Screenplay. I predicted Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Past Lives, May December, and Maestro. What did you predict?
In a petty move, I swapped out Maestro for the Iron Claw. I was hoping Iron Claw would get something. Just
called karma, Ben.
Something, you know? I know. So yeah, Anatomy of Fall, Holdovers, Past Lives, May December, and Iron Claw is what I went with.
Did A24 fuck up the release of the Iron Claw this year?
It's hard not to say yes to that because it just feels like there's so many things that people liked about it that it could have been nominated for, but it just came out way too late to really get anybody's attention. This movie is a fantastic movie. It deserves some recognition, and it's kind of a bummer that it's not going to get any, at least in terms of the Oscars.
I think the biggest push was, of course, a Zac Efron nomination. I still don't know if you can battle with Killian and Paul and that kind of echelon of things, but I think you release Zone of Interest, or if you release the Iron Claw maybe a month earlier, then you have a better battle on your hands that you can at least get nominated. Here's who the Academy nominated: Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. I went 5 for 5. Another 5 for 5 category for me. It's looking like my year so far. We'll see if I get the winners correct. Past Lives picks up one of their 2 nominations here. The other, of course, being Best Picture. This is kind of what we expected to be the 2 nominations. We were hopeful for the Greta Lee Best Actress. It sounded on the stream, and I know you didn't watch the stream, but every time Past Lives was announced, just a raucous cheer in the building for Past Lives. Do I think it's going to win? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. This is probably the category that I feel least confident about.
Yeah.
I think Anatomy of a Fall winning the Golden Globe does help here. And Justine Triet being nominated for Best Director, of course, helps push Anatomy of a Fall to win this. But it seems like people like Past Lives, but maybe not enough to nominate the actors.
Yeah, exactly. I unfortunately don't know that it's going to take home anything, but as my favorite movie of the year, I am glad to at least see it get some recognition for sure.
I believe this is also the first year that A24 has ever had 2 Best Picture nominations. They've got Past Lives and The Zone of Interest. Coming off of last year with Everything Everywhere All at Once winning, you got Moonlight winning a handful of years ago. A24 kind of figuring out the code to the Oscars algorithm a little bit here.
Slowly but surely.
Okay, Best Cinematography. I nominated Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, Maestro, and The Zone of Interest. Who did you predict?
Oppie, Killers, Poor Things, Zone of Interest, and I went with Barbie
as my
wild card 5th pick.
Here's who the Academy nominated: El Conde, which we had, heard rumblings. Variety had predicted this. Clayton talked to us about El Conde. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think at least for me, there was no Zone of Interest. For you, there was no Barbie. That ended up getting picked up by El Conde. I find it a little startling that the Zone of Interest didn't get in for cinematography. I felt pretty strongly about it. And maybe that's because I've seen the movie, and so I can have a better understanding of like why it should have been in that conversation. But I think Best Cinematography, we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about it this week on the show when we talked about Poor Things, because it feels like it's going to Oppenheimer. I don't really know that there's much to discuss.
Yeah, I think Oppenheimer definitely has locked in a lot of great stuff in that film, but it's interesting. I mean, obviously you voted for Maestro, so that makes me curious to see that. Check out the cinematography there. Mm-hmm. Killers is great, and Poor Things, I think all of those make sense. No Zone is really, really interesting.
Definitely. Okay, Best Costume Design. I predicted Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Barbie, and Napoleon. Who did you predict?
Barbie, Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon, and then my hopeful was Priscilla, and then I thought they might go with Color Purple.
Interesting. You know, I think Color Purple would have been a smart, like, 6 or 7 pick here.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know what happened, but, like, it just got bungled. The whole movie, the whole release, everything about it just, like, totally fell flat. Because generally, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, this is a shoe-in. This is a strong contender for Best Picture, a winner for Best Costume Design, a huge player in Best Original Song. I mean, this is premium Academy content that just kind of fell out of everything. Danielle Brooks, of course, gets a Best Supporting Actress nomination for The Color Purple. I think that's all that it picked up, maybe? Kind of crazy.
It's crazy with a movie that's produced by, you know, Oprah and Steven Spielberg. I thought for sure, like, they having those names behind it, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's like they just got the one.
So the Academy nominates Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I went 5 out of 5 again. I'm just going to say that every time I went 5.
I would too.
Napoleon, in serious contention here?
I don't think for anything, no. I don't think it's in serious contention for anything, to be honest.
Here's the thing, though. Ridley Scott still making Oscar-nominated films.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's worth noting. That's worth noting. I've got Poor Things winning this category.
Oh, nice. I mean, I think I'm still going to stick with Barbie. Like, if they're going to give it anything, I hope it's that, because they did some great things with that costume design, but Poor Things wouldn't be upset about that.
Here's the thing about Barbie that solidifies the idea of it being the biggest loser of this nomination slate to me. I don't think it's going to win anything. I don't think any category, I don't think it's head and shoulders above the rest. Costume design would be the one.
What about song? That's the only one that has two noms, right?
That's fair. That's fair. I'm sorry. We haven't talked about song yet. It's still it's very, very early in the morning.
But, I mean, even though that's kind of hard to say, call it a Barbie win, you know what I mean? It's just like a song tied to a movie. But the fact that it has 2 of the 5 noms, I don't know, that's also played against movies in the past. So we'll see. Who knows?
Split vote. Anything's possible. Okay, best film editing. I predicted Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, The Holdovers, and Anatomy of a Fall. Who did you predict?
Oppie, Killers, Holdovers, and then I thought maybe Ferrari, because some of those race scenes are fantastic. And The Killer. I thought they might give some love to this movie here in editing.
The Academy nominates Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I went 5 out of 5 again. I predicted Ferrari and The Killer in Best Sound, which we'll get to here in just a second. And I was just unfortunately let down by the Academy's very bad foresight to not see those movies as including Best Sound, especially The Killer. I think it's truly unhinged. I don't know if there's a lot to discuss with this category. Again, like, Oppenheimer still feels like it's going to steamroll some of these categories that are below the line, especially. But for me, at least, no surprises on the film editing slate.
Yeah, I mean, again, just it's making me more excited about finally checking out Anatomy of a Fall. So with these kind of nominations.
Okay, best makeup and hairstyling. I predicted Maestro, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Golda. Who did you predict?
Poor Things, Maestro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Golda, and Oppie.
Okay, so here's what the Academy nominated. Golda, which we both had. Maestro, we both had, right? Oppenheimer, Poor Things, so we're 4. And then that 5th spot ended up going to Society of the Snow. Killer of the Flower Moon missing out once again.
Kind of nuts. But I don't know. I guess it makes sense. It got in for costume, right? But makeup and hairstyling. Yeah. This is still, for me, the Priscilla snub. So I'm just kind of like, whatever, you know, whatever's going to be. I feel like you guys screwed caring. Up something that should have been there. I do think it's interesting that we both chose Golda. And that ended
purely based
on
other people's predictions. I don't know anything about this movie. I don't think a lot of people know very much about this film.
No clue.
So Society of the Snow gets in. Big win for Netflix, of course. This also included in the best international slate, which we'll cover here in a second. I have Maestro winning this category.
Okay.
You've got
Poor things. I put Poor Things down for this one.
Okay. I'm really curious to have that conversation when you see Maestro. Yeah. I'm really interested to see if you think the nose on Bradley Cooper is worth the juice. Right there. Squeeze is worth the juice.
Who knows?
I don't know. Who knows? Wow. Good one, Ben. Too early for me to get the joke. Okay. No Killer of the Flower Moon is still a big deal to me. I think that's wild that it doesn't get in for makeup and hairstyling, considering like the way Leo fucking looks in this movie is, I understand it's part of his costume, but like his face and his teeth and his hair are just decrepit. He's terrible. So, okay. Best production design. I've got Barbie, Poor Things, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer. And this was my one No Guts, No Glory nomination here. I wanted Asteroid City in for best production design. Not one of my favorite movies of the year, but a movie that I think was warranted in being in the best production design conversation. Who did you predict?
I mean, I went 5 for 5 with you on the nominations here. Even though I couldn't finish Asteroid City, I could recognize the production design. I thought maybe it would get nominated.
Like, couldn't finish it because something happened, or you just didn't want to finish it?
Yes. I didn't want to keep watching it, so I fell asleep. So, and then I never finished it.
Wow. That's wild. I don't think it's that bad, but, you know, I think the final 20 minutes of Asteroid City is very impactful. So, maybe
it's just hard to get to that last 20 minutes.
It is tough. It is tough. Yeah. The nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Napoleon getting in for production design. Two Oscar nominations here for Napoleon, at least. I get it for Napoleon. It's a big war epic. I understand. What's up with the Academy just like snubbing Wes this year? Just like, I know he got in for best live action short with the wonderful story of Henry Sugar.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a big win. But it still feels like Asteroid City was just like substantially kind of ostracized from like the Academy society this year. And we're just like, not for us.
It's kind of nuts to think about a movie like Naiad getting more nominations than Asteroid City, but here
insane.
We are. It's the world we live in. Do you think it's still Barbie's to lose?
I think that it is Barbie's to lose.
Yeah.
You make a physical set like that and you come out with so many behind the scenes videos and insights about like what went into this and like, hey, we caused a global shortage of pink paint because we were making a movie. That's, come on. Yeah. How do you not win production design when you do that?
Yeah.
That, to me, that seems pretty locked up. Okay, best score. I predicted Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, The Zone of Interest, and Poor Things. Ben, did you have the same nominations?
Yeah, looks like we're the same again.
Okay, wow. The Academy nominates American Fiction, Indiana Jones, and The Dial of Destiny, a movie that exists. Came out
does
this
indeed.
Year. Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. First off, did you like Dial of Destiny as a film?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the best 5 Indiana Jones movies for sure.
I have
not seen it. I have no idea if it's good or not.
You haven't seen Ben. I bought you a set of 3 Indiana Jones films for your Christmas present. You own them in your home.
Yes.
Physical disc, brother.
I've been busy watching Oscar movies. If you want to cover Indiana Jones instead of Maestro, I will watch an Indiana Jones movie. We can talk about that.
Never. Here's the big deal. What is going on with Dial of Destiny getting in? This just purely not part of the conversation. Nobody, I don't think, ever expected this to come in this category. It's the John Williams effect.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's just got to be John Williams. Like, I don't even know if half the people have voted on it listen to this, but it's just like, oh, John Williams is there. Cool. Let's do that. Yeah. That seems to make sense, which, like, in theory, you're not wrong, but it's just like, it doesn't mean it was one of the 5 best of the year.
I agree with you. I think Dial of Destiny is actually not a bad film. I had a good time with it. I think it's exceptionally average, but I had a good time. Across the Spider-Verse not getting in here, very surprising to me.
Yeah, same.
That score is dynamite. Even though we're a little colder on the film, like, that score is great. And one of the best 5 of the year. So I don't understand. In a year in which it felt like best score was pretty much solidified I don't understand how he had so many toss-ups here.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised too. And I know I said it earlier with some of the other movies, but again, this is something that makes me more excited to see American Fiction.
Yeah.
Like if it got recognized for score here, it's like, all right, well, I'm curious to see what that's all about.
Yeah. Okay. Best song. What I nominated or I predicted, What Was I Made For in Barbie. I'm Just Ken, Barbie. The Road to Freedom in Rustin. The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, a movie about Cheetos. And It Never Went Away by American Symphony. What did you predict?
What Was I Made For and I'm Just Ken from Barbie, Road to Freedom from Rustin. Mm-hmm. And I went with Keep It Moving from Color Purple because I figured being a musical, it's probably going to get a musical nomination.
You would think.
And then It Never Went Away from American Symphony.
The Academy nominated The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. Again, a movie about Cheetos. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away, American Symphony. What Was I Made For, Barbie. And was I don't know how to pronounce this correctly. Wazahe?
Yeah.
A Song for My People, Killers of the Flower Moon. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting to me because does this nomination in moral theory absolve the Academy of not nominating either Leo or adapted screenplay for Killers?
I mean, I guess that's what they're hoping for, but I don't know. I never would have anticipated a singular song from Killers of the Flower Moon ending up here.
Never.
This is a big surprise.
Huge surprise, I feel like. I just don't think this, not saying like it's not a great song, but like I listen to that score all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't personally tell you like, oh, this is that Oscar nominated song.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's part of the score. It's phenomenal. Like, it's strange to me that it's not one of the bigger songs. And I just don't like that narrative of like, hey, we nominated it somewhere else. Let's not nominate it in the place where people thought we were going to. The America for Barbie situation, like, it feels grimy to me. I don't really like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. This is interesting. It does feel that like What Was I Made For is still far and away the winner.
Yeah. Okay, we have four to go. We got just a few minutes to do this. Let's bust it out. Best sound. I predicted Oppenheimer, Maestro, The Zone of Interest, The Killer, and Ferrari. Who did you predict?
Same, but other than The Killer, I went with Napoleon, I thought, for those big war scenes.
Yeah, the Academy nominates The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1.
Tom.
Oppenheimer and The Zone of Interest. You know what happened here? You know what happened here?
What happened?
The entity took over the Academy voters and the votes.
Yeah, this is the syndicate and changed nomination.
It. This is this is how it happened right here. I'm shocked. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning gets in for this and Best Visual Effects, which we'll talk about next. And The Creator, when they first started listing these, I was like, are we sure we didn't mix up the slide with Best Visual Effects? Like, The Creator getting in for Best Sound?
It's kind of nuts. Like, I mean,
over
Fury,
The Killer, over Ferrari.
It's, yeah, I'm blown away by some of these choices. So, I don't know. Mission Impossible being Oscar nominated is just astounding to me.
I think it's the first of the franchise to be nominated for an Oscar, which is insane. I think the Academy fucked up big. They should have nominated The Killer. They should have nominated Ferrari. Like,
yeah,
much better options on the slate, in my opinion. Okay, Best Visual Effects. I predicted The Creator, Poor Things, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. What did you predict?
Same. We went 5 for 5 on this.
The Academy said no, and they nominated The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon. Poor Things misses out. Spider-Verse misses out.
Spider-Verse is insane.
That's insane.
To me, that felt like the first lock. I was like, well, yeah, obviously that's going to be there, and then we'll see what else shows up. The Creator obviously is fantastic as well, but I just thought, yeah, Spider-Verse has to be there. It has to.
I agree with you. I feel like Spider-Verse had to be there. I thought Poor Things was kind of a shoo-in for like the worlds that were created and that idea of things. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, like, I've seen it. Good Mission Impossible flick. at 0 point in time was I like, wow, these visual effects are stunning.
Right? Yeah.
Never crossed my mind.
Yeah, no, I would not have anticipated this at all.
Why are they doing this? What causes this?
Tom, I guess. Maybe they want Tom to be there. I have no idea.
The little Leo for Tom trade.
Yeah, a little trade off.
Okay, interesting. Okay, we got two to go. Best animated feature. I nominated, or I predicted, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, and Nimona. Who did you predict?
I can't believe I talked myself out of Nimona. I just thought it was a thing that I liked.
Nimona's good.
But Boy and the Heron, Spider-Verse, Elemental, Mutant Mayhem, and Suzumi.
The Academy nominates The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, a movie that is not widely available, if I am not mistaken, right now, and Across the Spider-Verse. I think that Robot Dreams, of course, is a big surprise here, getting an over Mutant Mayhem. And while I've heard excellent things about Robot Dreams, I don't know if that's a good slash smart slash wise decision for the Academy.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice. I feel like Mutant Mayhem, I don't know. I mean, the cast behind that, like the people that are behind that, seemed pretty solid and pretty popular, but I guess not enough to take over Robot Dreams.
I guess. I think Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, pretty good shot at winning here. I think the only other contender in my eyes is The Boy and the Heron, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Okay, last one. Best international feature. I predicted The Zone of Interest, The Taste of Things, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and Perfect Days. What did you predict?
Zone of Interest, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, and then I'm with Fallen Leaves and The Taste of Things.
Okay, so the official nominees from the Academy are Io Capitano, or Io Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, Zone of Interest. The Taste of Things misses out here, which I think a lot of people thought was a pretty big lock for an international feature.
Yeah.
And further bolsters the commentary and the narrative that France made the biggest fuck up in international picture history by choosing The Taste of Things over Anatomy of a Fall and not even getting nominated, when in reality, they had a very good shot at winning this category.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, they would have been up there with the 10 best movies of the year, and the Academy's not, like, you know, viewpoint. Yeah. And then now they just don't have anything in there for international feature. It's kind of crazy.
It's wild. I think this is The Zone of Interest is going to win here.
Yeah.
Because there is no Anatomy of a Fall. Does Anatomy of a Fall go home empty handed? I think so.
It might. Yeah. I guess adapted screenplay whatever screenplay it's up for.
Original screenplay.
Only thing it's up for. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Biggest loser of the nominations, Ben.
I mean, it's hard to say about a movie with 8 noms, but Barbie just seems like it missed out on a lot of things that we thought. I mean, you know, we've gone over a few movies on these episodes and we're like, oh, this could be nominated for up to 12. But I think so far we felt like every movie we've covered has been nominated or would get at least double digit nominations. And so to only end up with 8 and to lose out on stuff like directing and best actress is kind of huge. Again, silly thing to say for something with 8 nominations, but just felt like there was more to be had.
Agreed with you. I think Barbie is the biggest loser of this slate. I also think the Academy is the biggest loser because they've got potentially no Leo sitting at their table here on the biggest night in Hollywood. They nominate Barbie for only 8 things, like you said. They don't nominate Greta for best director. They don't nominate Margot for best actress. And they nominate Annette Bening, and they nominate Indiana Jones, and they kind of slump into their old ways a little bit for a few things. And I think the Academy ends up being a pretty big loser. Who's the biggest winner of this nomination slate?
It's hard for me to not think your biggest winner is biggest surprise, and those would go to NIAID and Mission Impossible. Like, I don't know that any of those people woke up this morning like, yeah, we're going to be there for sure. So
no way.
For them, they've got to feel like the biggest winners.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think definitely the biggest surprise is this Mission Impossible thing that we got going on here. And I think Zone of Interest comes away a winner. A little bit kind of bittersweet, though, because it feels like it missed out on some stuff. And it should have made it, but it made it into other things. Is Past Lives also a big loser of this nomination slate, even though it got a Best Picture nomination?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, more just in the sense that Greta Lee didn't get a nomination and it was never going to happen. But our boy Magaro, what a bummer.
Ugh, what a bummer. God, in another universe, that would have been really cool. Okay. I think France also a very big loser here in this Academy Awards.
Yeah.
We'll no doubt be talking about these as we continue to do our Best Picture kind of Academy Awards slate that we've got going on. We've got Poor Things coming up. We've got The Holdovers coming up after that. And then we'll have the final five. And of course, the biggest night in Hollywood, the Oscars, we will be giving our live reactions. We're here for the thing. And we're in it now, Ben. This is high tide. We made it to nomination day.
And honestly, I'm proud of us. We had predicted 8 of the 10 movies so far, and all 8 of those showed up. So now we know what the last 2 are, and we're good to go. This is going to be awesome.
Let's fucking go. I feel really good. Next week on the pod, we're getting fantastical. We're going to be talking about the wild and visually stunning movie Poor Things, movie that was not nominated for Best Visual Effects. We've already pre-recorded that before this nomination list, so we have a little bit of a game with Poor Things there that I don't think is correct, but it's fun because it happened and we did it. I very interesting. Of course, I think on the next episode that we record, which will be The Holdovers, I'll probably come with some much more aligned thoughts on these, but I think
for sure
fun nomination morning. And Ben, I appreciate you. I want the listeners to know I appreciate you getting up early riding with me for the Academy Awards.
I mean, I'll do anything for you. You did it even an hour earlier plus. So, I'm glad we're here. I'm glad I had some coffee. It was interesting to go over the nominations. What did you guys think of these nominations here? What are the biggest winners and losers for you? Let us know. We are on Twitter and Instagram at 24 minutes of A24. And don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube where you can watch our beautiful baggy eyes and faces as we talk about these nominations and these movies. So thank you so much for your support. I am Ben Lawhorn.
And I'm Ethan Simi. Justice for John Magaro.